So we turn now to God's word. So, oh, now I've lost the place. And I've got my best Bible with me, which means it's stiff. Wasn't a good idea, was it? So our reading is from the first letter of Peter, and it's chapter 5, so quite near the end. And we should bear in mind, while I'm reading this, that Peter has written to people, believers, who are suffering much for their faith. Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 8 to 11. This is what he tells them. Be alert. Be on the watch. Your enemy, the devil, roams round like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Be firm in your faith. And resist him, because you know that your fellow believers in all the world are going through the same kind of sufferings. But after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who calls you to share his eternal glory in union with Christ, will himself perfect you and give you firmness, strength, and a sure foundation. To him be the power for ever. Amen. If the words were up there on the, yes, they were, up there on the wall, you had them from the NIV, didn't you? And I was reading from the Good News. I'm really sorry about that. Hope it didn't make it too difficult to follow. Well, the title of what I'm going to talk about is Know Your Enemy. And it was triggered by the fact that I started going to a monthly seminar at Mulberry House near Ongar, not too many miles from here. And it's led by Chris Hill, who's an excellent Bible teacher. And he seeks to, this is his words, he seeks to put across a very balanced understanding about spiritual warfare. I've been to two so far, and I've been greatly encouraged by what I've learned. You see, I'm not somebody who sees the devil round every corner. But what I'm hearing has got me thinking. And I realised that in 32 years of being a local preacher, I can't ever remember speaking on this subject. So, here goes. I don't like to think that I've got enemies, do you? I try to live in peace with everyone, in as far as I'm able. But here this morning, we've just read from God's word, be alert, be on the watch. Your enemy, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. And so it seems, I do have an enemy. But it's not a flesh and blood kind of enemy, but a spiritual enemy. So what's he like? Well, a little red man with horns, so beloved of the filmmakers in times gone past? Absolutely not. Peter tells us three things about him. He's like a roaring lion. He roams around and is looking for someone to devour. So let's try and unpack that a bit. If you ever watch any of the David Attenborough programs, you'll know that lions, when they're asleep, they look really quite cuddly, don't they? You ever seen them at the zoo as well? And, you know, it's not feeding time and they're sprawled out and looking all lugubrious. You feel as if you could almost go and pat them. But it's a different matter when they're hungry. Quietly, stealthily, they prowl, ready to pounce on their prey. And you know, the other animals in the wild, they know this. And so they're always watchful and alert. That seems to be the picture that Peter wants us to have in our mind's eye. The devil is real. He prowls about and he wants to devour. Devour what? Not our body. Our faith. That's what he wants to devour. The very start of Jesus' ministry, we see the devil trying to devour Jesus by tempting him away from the very task that he'd come to do on earth, to save the human race. The devil is the adversary in opposition to God and all that God would have us know and believe. Now, Peter was writing to believers who were facing persecution. They were suffering greatly for being followers of Jesus. And so Peter's saying to them, don't be surprised. This is what happened to Jesus. Don't you realize it's bound to happen to you too? If you believe in him and follow his teaching. So long as we Christians follow the culture of the day, pretty much, and not what the Bible teaches, not much happens to us in this country by way of opposition. We might be seen as a little bit odd, mainly elderly, a dying breed, or even those who belong to a cozy club. But as soon as a Christian challenges the trending culture, everything changes. The lion will pounce, and he still does. You've probably read or seen on the news just this last week that Kate Forbes, who's one of the candidates for the SNP leadership contest, she spoke honestly about her Christian conviction that marriage is between a man and a woman for life. And opposition came loud and clear. She's not the first, and she won't be the last. I seem to remember 4 or 5 years ago, Tim Farron finding it impossible, he said, to reconcile being the leader of the Lib Dems and with his Christian faith. And J.K. Rowling has been in the dock as well for the things that she has said about transgender and various other things along those lines. So what about us? Do we speak out honestly to family and friends and work colleagues about what we believe? Or are we fearful of being ridiculed? Perhaps thought of as old-fashioned or not moving with the times? Remember, the devil is opposed to the plans of God. So be aware. Know your enemy. His aim is to make you doubt. Did God really say that? If that sounds familiar, it probably takes you back to what he said to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, in Genesis 3. If he tempted Jesus, he will surely tempt us too. We have an enemy. He's real, he's active, and he's looking to devour faith in Jesus Christ. Thankfully, Peter tells us what to do about it. In verse 9, we were told we are to be firm in our faith and resist him. Being forewarned does help us to be forearmed. And he gives us a reason. And the reason is because fellow believers all over the world are going through the same thing, which in this instance is called suffering. I wouldn't put what we go through in the category of suffering, but it's along the same path. Most certainly many believers in other countries really do suffer for their faith, even to the point of death. So what happens to us is nothing compared to that. But it's the same adversary. And God gives us the same instruction. Be firm and resist the devil. So how are we to do that? Very importantly, I believe, it's to know the scriptures. Just as Jesus did in answer to the devil's taunts. We need to be sure of God's truth from God's word so that we can resist the devil. We need to stay in close communion with God. We do that through prayer and by worshipping him, and especially by meeting together like this morning with other believers. Bible studies and midweek groups too all help to foster that togetherness. We all know that a lone animal away from the group in lion territory is the one who falls victim when the lion comes to devour. if we stop reading the Bible, if we only come to worship sporadically, it leaves us incredibly vulnerable. And finally, we're to remember that because of the cross, the devil has no power, ultimately. He is a defeated enemy. A couple of weeks ago now, some friends of mine invited me to go round for dinner, and afterwards we watched a version of Pilgrim's Progress. I've never seen a film of it before. I've got a somewhat ancient book here. But it reminded me that as Christian travels along the path towards the heavenly city, part of the way there, he approached a beautiful palace. But blocking the entrance to it, there were two lions. A couple of his companions, Mr. Fearful and Mr. Mistrust, had been too afraid to go on when they got there. And Christian too was terrified until the gatekeeper, Mr. Watchful, came out of his lodge. "Don't be frightened," he said. "The lions are chained up. Keep in the middle of the path and they won't be able to hurt you." And so Christian went on, trembling and afraid, but keeping to the narrow way, the path that went between them. And the lions were unable to touch him. When he reached the other side, safe, tested, but safe, he felt such joy, knowing that yet again he could continue on his journey to the heavenly city. It's an allegory from which we can learn so much. And isn't it a picture of what Peter is saying to us in our reading today? And which, surprise, surprise, reiterates what Jesus said too in the Sermon on the Mount. I'm going to read from Matthew. Oh dear, that one's fallen out as well, so I'm going to have to find it. From Matthew 7. And it's what he said about the narrow gate. "Go in through the narrow gate, because the gate to hell is wide. The road that leads to it is easy, and there are many who travel it. But the gate to life is narrow, and the way that leads to it is hard, and there are few people who find it." The devil is an active but a defeated enemy. We're told that after he tempted Jesus in the desert, that little line at the end of that passage that says, you probably know it, "He left him for a while." And so we can assume from that that throughout Jesus' ministry, the devil came back, tried to take a chunk out of him. And so it is for us too. From time to time, often when we're off guard and least expecting it, he'll try to pounce, fill us with doubt, or put people across our path who oppose God's word and our application of it in everyday life. But we can be sure from what we've read this morning that we have no need to fear. We simply need to know who our enemy is. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for revealing to us that as believers in Jesus, we do have an enemy. Help us at all times to be watchful and alert in order to resist him. Thank you for showing us that his power is limited. Limited by you. And that we've nothing to fear. For we do indeed belong to you, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings.